Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 26, November 15th, 2011. The kids from Greenville work the space station. Hello, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to Ham Nation. We are on the air. Everybody is here, and it's going to be a wonderful, fabulous show tonight. You know, November is Youth Night, and because Gordo and George and I haven't grown up yet because we don't know what we want to do when we get big, we thought we'd bring the kids in with us, too. Gordo, how you doing in Costa Mesa?
Everything is fine. The rain has stopped, and I can't wait to see all the kids we've got on tap tonight for Ham Nation. Go ahead, Bob.
Well, we've got a whole bunch of kids, and George will be with us later. We're having to use the Skype for all the different things. We have a special guest tonight in the studio, and it's none other than Mr. Tom Merritt. Tom, thanks for hanging around with us.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for inviting me along. It's good to be here.
You got the best equipment, though. Look at that. Holy smokes.
Hey, I got all Leo's equipment behind me, so it makes
That's
me look
okay.
good.
You got the best stuff. Well, we appreciate you being there, but I have a real special reason for having you here tonight, because we have one of your old compatriarchs from Greenville, Illinois, and I want you to say hello to John King, who was police chief?
Oh, yeah.
Circuit clerk? What all did he do, Tom?
Yeah, I think of John as chief, because when I was growing up, he was chief of police in Greenville, and then he was also the chief engineer at WGEL Radio, which was my first job.
All right.
So whenever anything broke, I had to call the chief, and I was always happy to see John, because I knew it was going to get fixed.
Now, I guess, can we ask you, since he was the police chief, I mean, you know, there's only a couple of us listening here, and I don't think Eileen's listening.
No, she's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Did you ever have any confrontations with the police chief? You know what I mean.
John remembers it differently than I do. But if I did have any, I've wiped them out of my memory, because I always remember him being a good guy, and I never had any run-ins to him. I didn't even have any run-ins with Louie, which is the only other member of the force I can remember from back then, but I stayed as far on the right side of the law as I could, I think.
Well, let's take a look here and switch over to Greenville and say hello to John and let you guys converse a bit. He's got Jim with him, too. You know, we talk about Jim a lot. He's the guy that makes all these wonderful signs, and Jim is a member of the Greenville, Illinois Club, so let's see if they're all there. John, are you there with us tonight?
I am. Good evening to you, Bob. And Tom, what a surprise. Bob told me a few minutes ago you were going to be here, and what exciting. Do I remember things? Maybe.
Well, I appreciate you saying maybe and not positively.
Well, just in case your sister's listening, you know.
Yeah, exactly. She may get wind of this somehow, because word travels fast in Greenville. It's good to see you, Chief.
Hey, good to see you, Tom.
That is just too cool. Well, I thought that you should hang around and be a part of this Greenville, part of the show, Tom, because Greenville, I know, I mean, a lot. How long were you in Greenville?
Well, I grew up, I was born there, and I lived there until 1988 when I, you know, went away to college. And, of course, I'd come back during the summers and everything all through college. 18 years of my life, solid, for sure.
Wow.
I think he just escorted out of town, Bob.
Yeah, that's right. He's not talking. But you know what's cool about that, Gordo, as you notice, he's very very quiet. He's a typical policeman. He's not going to tell stories, so that's kind of cool.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Well, let's see if we can't talk a little bit about why these guys are here. We also have the president of the club, Ken Norris, KK9N. Ken, are you with us tonight, or are you too busy working DX?
No, I'm here, Bob. Good evening, Bob and Gordon. How you doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing just great. And boy, talk about DX. Were you on 10 meters today? The band was wide open.
No, I'm one of those few people who still have to work for a living. So I get to check it out when I get home. It was pretty well dead by then.
Oh, I pass his house every day, guys. And believe me, he's got more antennas. You can't believe how many antennas he's got in his yard. So he lives right behind the plant where the microphones are made. And so I think about every day when I go by, thinking, man, what's he working with all that stuff? But we're glad to have you guys. I guess really we should let John kick this off and explain to us a little bit about the Greenville Club. It's very special, but you did a thing a few years ago, and why don't you tell us a little bit about how this all happened with the schools and the many children that you guys got a license and on the air, John?
Okay, happy to do that. We're really proud of what has happened in Greenville, and our story, actually, our club was formed back in 1974, and it's been around that long, and one of the few clubs that have managed to stay active, and it's hard. But about 5 years ago, our club was contacted by Jackie Bloomer, who is now KC9LEH. She's a teacher in fourth grade at the Greenville Elementary School, and she was went to a seminar and learned about the NASA Explorer School program, and so she came back and got her fellow teachers to get excited about it as well. They applied, and before the month was out, they had been chosen as one of the few NASA Explorer schools in the country, and they only bring on a few of them each year. One of the suggestions from NASA was that they contact the local amateur radio club and get us involved helping them, hoping that one day their school would be one chosen to talk to the International Space Station. Well, come May, this past May of this year, we were successful in a contact with the International Space Station. But our program really started with encouraging the teachers. There's four fourth grade teachers to get their ham license. Out of the four, three of them did. The fourth teacher, Mr. Ahern, there was a robotics program, which is part of the NASA Explorer School program, and he decided that he could push his talents better there. So he got involved in that part of it. And the three teachers, Jackie, I've already mentioned, Donna, KC9LEG, and Karen, KC9LEI. Those three teachers, Jim was part of the VE team that tested them. And they got their ham license, and we thought, well, now we're set. Well, as they began to talk about it, the kids started getting really interested. We made a couple visits to school. Then 3 years ago, we had our first large number of kids. We had a third grader. We had 15 fourth graders and one fifth grader.
Wow.
That got their ham test. So that was 17 kids that got their technician class license 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Our entire club, not the entire club, but the core group of the club was involved with after-school training with the kids. We spent time in their computer lab with them. It was a lot of fun for all of us. And, of course, Jim was right there, who's sitting beside me, right there with helping with the VE team part of it. And all of the class member or club members that helped are part of the VE team. So we were able to bring in as many experts as we had to work with these kids. In the second year, we had 11 kids who passed their ham license. And I'm kind of proud to say of that group, out of that group, my granddaughter was one of those 11 kids.
Okay.
And
then, wow.
And then this past year, just before we talked to the International Space Station, we had 9 more kids pass their ham ticket. So we have a total of 37 kids and 3 teachers currently at Greenville Elementary School that are licensed amateur radio operators. Most all of them have been on the radio. They've been on the 2-meter repeater here in Greenville, and they have radios. They've been loan radios, or they were donated. We had radios and drawings for the radios, and So we've had a lot of fun with the kids, Bob.
Well, that's really great. Jim, you were one of the VE test guys that helped the kids. Is that right? You were on the team?
That's right, Bob. I started the team about 8 years ago. And so far in the last 8 years, we've brought on about 500 new hams in this area. But we had a great time with the kids at the school. What we did, we loaded the test material onto individual laptops for the kids, and we had a ham sit with each one of the kids to make sure that each child completely understood the question before we allowed them to put an answer down. We didn't coach them in any of the answers. We just let them do it, but we made sure the kids really understood it. And John did a fantastic job in teaching.
That is really, really wonderful. And what's really cool about it is that I just read today in QST that count is up to 700,221. If you guys wouldn't have had 500 come in here, and I don't know how many years you did that, but it would be well under 700. So I applaud you. That's really super. So, Alex, if you can, first of all, let's let Tom go. Tom has been, he works all day, and I want to say 7-3. That means best regards, Tom. So you can say goodnight to your Greenville friends, but we don't want to hold you here all night. And thanks for hanging around, and we really appreciate you being here, Tom. So good night to you.
Well, sure. Thanks, Bob. It was nice of you to let me pop in and say hi to John. It's great to see him, and great to hear what's going on over there at Greenville Elementary System. I'm a graduate, so I'm proud to hear things are going well there. And John, say hello to KA9NQK for me.
I will.
All right.
She'll be impressed. She is actually on her way to work right now as we speak.
Oh, no kidding. All right. Well, take care, everybody. Thanks again, Bob.
Okay. Well, we're going to roll this
Tom.
Video. Yeah, thank you so much, Tom. We're going to roll this video, and you're going to maybe see some people you know in there too, Tom. But Alex, let's see what's happening in Greenville, Illinois.
NA1SS, this is W9KXQ. We can copy you, but you're pretty weak at the moment.
Roger, copy. I have you instead loud and clear. Okay, let's wait a second and see if you get me better. How do you have me now?
Follow, we got a good copy on you now. We have our first question coming to you right now.
This is KC9. This is Cody. KC9SHW, what do you do with the garbage?
Okay. Cody, Kilo Charlie 9 Sierra Hotel Whiskey. Well, with the garbage, we put it into our supply ship. We take out all the equipment that they bring us up to us, and we load it with the garbage, and then it re-enters the burns in the atmosphere. Over.
This is Cameron, KC9SHF. Can you see rainbows from space? Over.
Cameron, KC9SHF. Actually not. Rainbows are the diffraction of the light passing through the water in the atmosphere. And we don't have atmosphere up here, so we don't see rainbows. We see many other interesting things, so over.
This is Jackie, KC9UBS. What is the best part of being on the space station? Over.
Jackie, KC9UBF. Well, the best part is right being here on the space station. It's actually being here outside the atmosphere in a microgravity environment, floating around and being able to look out and see our beautiful Earth. And, of course, conduct experiments and be helpful to everybody. Over.
This is Samantha, KC9PBC. Did you feel nervous when lifting off on this shuttle, and what did it feel like? Over.
Samantha, KC9, Papa Bravo Charlie. Well, yes, I felt a little bit nervous when we lifted off because, you know, it's still a rocket, it's still a bomb that exploded in a controlled way. But it was really nice and exhilarating, especially when you actually get in space. It feel like a really strong ride. And with a lot of acceleration and movement, but very interesting. Over.
This is Logan, KC9, SHX. What do you do if you get hurt or catch a cold? Over.
Logan, KC9, Sierra Hotel X-Ray. Well, if you get hurt, we have a little pharmacy here on board, and some of us are trained, and we can take care of it. If it's really heavy and there's a risk of life, then we can jump in onto our spacecraft and get back to Earth in a few hours. Cold, we don't catch colds here. There are no germs unless somebody brings us up to us, like it happens sometimes when the shuttle comes to visit. Over.
What do you do when you need to change clothes in space? Over.
Caitlin, KC9SHZ. Well, we keep the clothes a little bit longer than we keep them when in Earth, and we make sure they're really dirty, and then we just dispose of them. We put them in the garbage and burn them up. Over.
This is Austin, KC9PAZ. What do the planets and Earth look like from the space station?
Austin, KC9PAZ. Well, the planets actually look brighter and a little bit clearer than from Earth, but they look more or less the same than looking at them from the Earth. Instead, looking at Earth, it's a completely different story. It's gorgeous, beautiful, and extremely clear, and we can see everything. Over.
This is Luke, KC9PAF. How do you prepare for missions? Over.
And look at KC9PAF. Well, the training is about 2.5 years long, and we do a lot of things from a point of view of keeping fit, then learning the system of the spacecraft and learning all the experiments. It's very, very busy and somehow tiring, but of course it's needed if we want to come up here and be able to do our job. Over.
This is George, KC9UBG. How well do you sleep in space? And does time feel different? Over.
KC9UBG, I mean, everybody sleeps in a different way. I personally sleep very well. I'm kind of suspended in air, and it's really nice. It feels really nice. The time feels to me a little bit different. We don't have the reference of the sun, and if we would look at the sun all the time, we'd get crazy because the sun, there are like 16 sunsets and sunrises per day, so we'll just look at the watch, and we go to bed according to the time where we are supposed to.
This is KC9PPF. What do you do in your free time? Do you have TV, internet, and music?
Kayla, KC9PPF. Well, actually, I feel I don't have that much of a free time. We do not have TV. We do have a very slow internet connection, and we have a lot of music. We actually tend to listen to music also during the day when we have tasks that we can have the music on. I personally, in my free time, I like to take pictures of Earth. I usually tweet them, put them in Twitter, and I write emails to friends, and I call them. Over.
This is Harley, KC9UB. Why did you want to become an astronaut? Over.
Harley, KC9UB. Well, this was my dream when I was a kid, and eventually I was able to
realize it.
This is Josh, KC9SIA. Is it possible to create artificial gravity? Over.
Josh, KC9SIA. Well, I guess, I mean, yes, it is possible to create artificial gravity. You can spin something around and then you have gravity. We have a small centrifuge here that do this. Though we do not have anything that creates artificial gravity for us, and at this moment we don't really need it and we don't want it. We come to space because there is microgravity. It would not be good if we introduce again gravity.
NA1SS, this is W9KXQ from Greenville, Illinois. Thank you for the contact. Thank you for the contact, Pablo. We appreciate your time. This is W9KXQ, Greenville, Illinois, clear.
Wow. That was great.
Hang on, there's a little bit more here. Check out the end.
That was great.
For those that are listening to the podcast, they're showing pictures of all the kids and all of their calls and names, as well as the teachers. 37 kids at the license cause. I'm so proud of this Central Illinois club. Work they do. And here are some of the views of them putting all the antennas and equipment together for that one day. Think about the work to do this. What a wonderful thing, and what a piece of education for the kids. Off every view in the Greenville Club have to be. This is just too cool. I appreciate being here. There's some of the Paw Valley Amateur Radio Club's crew. And John on the antenna. Chuck. That's cool. That's cool. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was great.
Is that super? Oh, we got more. But I think before we do that, we should say hello to the president of the Aqua Valley Club, Ken Norris. Ken, you must be very proud of all of the things that you guys are able to do today. And thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you, Bob. Yes, I am very proud of the club. We've got about 60 members in charter. 25 to 30 of them are very active. And it's about anything I ask them to do, they can do. And they love doing things. We try to do as much as we can with kids, trying to do events with them, invite them to the meetings. Field Day was a good event to have the kids out there. We had a fox hunt about a month ago and had a little junior fox hunt in the park where I just put a little transmitter and just tried to teach them how to direction hunt using their bodies and the little handheld radios. So we're trying to get as much activity as we can. They're the future, and we want to take them in the right direction.
Absolutely. And we must tell, there are so many people in our audience that aren't hams that are learning to be hams, but tell them a little bit about fox hunt, what that means and what you do and so on. What's a fox hunt? And we're not talking about the animal, Ken. What's that about?
No, the fox hunt is a hidden transmitter hunt. We go out and put a transmitter out in a hidden location, and at a certain time, we let them loose. We turn on the transmitter, and the transmitter actually transmits for 1 minute solid and then shuts off for 4 minutes. So every 5 minutes, it cycles on. And the teams usually take a directional antenna or some kind of Doppler receiver or a way to find the direction where the fox is at, and then try to triangulate on maps or use software to try to find the fox. And first one finds it gets first place. This year we had three teams, and we had first place team. One found it. Second one came close, and the other one had a receiver problem, so it didn't quite find it. But it's a real good activity. It's actually an exercise for finding downed aircraft and ships at out in the ocean too. So it's just a real fun activity.
See, that's part of it, everybody. We do all these fun things, but they mean something, because someday one of us will get a call to go out and find something. And what that something is saving a life that's out there somewhere, and ham radio can go help and do that. One of the things we do as amateur radio operators is to do a thing every June called Field Day. And I want Alex to roll this next piece of video. We've seen a lot of different field days. Check this one out, because it's all of these intelligent children that the Alcohol Valley Amateur Radio Club have trained, and they all got their license. Look at these little kids digging in there, working field day, and this is no simple thing to do when you got all these pileups. So let's take a look at field day in Greenville, Illinois.
Make sure who it is.
W9KXQ, Whiskey 9 Echo Water, Trey Queen. W9KXQ.
Here is Whiskey Bravo 2.
This is W9KXQ. I repeat, this is
W9KX2.
W9KX2.
W9KX2. Is that correct?
Roger.
Well, this is Kilo Delta 8, Echo on the Foxtrot, and sounds like you're young. Very great to hear you on the radio. On Bravo, Tennessee.
W9KXQ,
Whiskey Niner Kilowatt X-ray Queen, Whiskey Niner Kilowatt X-ray
Queen. 25 more, we have 400.
Whiskey Niner
Kilowatt X-ray. That's true.
And there's old Jim. Look at that, Gordo.
Wow. All right.
He's got his sign with him. Check this out, everybody. This is so sweet. Check this out. For those of you that are just listening, you have to check this out.
Oh, that is wonderful.
We're just so proud of this club. And Ken, I appreciate you doing everything you do to keep things going. I know you're kind of the technical whiz guy, but you have to be proud of all the members underneath you this year in the club. And we hope that that we can do more to bring your efforts to Ham Nation and the world, to let them see what's going on in Greenville. So, Ken, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you, Bob. I do have a wonderful club, and they put a lot of time and effort into the kids, and I really appreciate them doing that. And it sounds like we've got a lot of future, more people coming, or more kids coming up through the ranks, and the teachers keep calling, asking us to come out.
Isn't that great? And, John, you and I have known each other for a way, way, way long time, and each year is more fun. And Jim, you're just a great asset to amateur radio and all the many signs that you make for everybody. Jim's engraving. Gordo, tell him about Jim's engraving. Show him your sign. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, Jim always does a fabulous job. And Jim, thanks for all you do for Ham Radio, because I know that you've got this tied in with veterans, and you support all the cause of Ham Radio. And there's my sign in the background, and I take it with me. In fact, I'll be at a Ham Radio outlet in Atlanta on December 3rd, and I'll bring the sign with me, Jim. I'll be there.
Thank you, Gordo. Appreciate it.
All right. Well, 7-3, Jim, to you. 7-3, John, and thank you so much for putting all this together for us. And thank
Bob,
you,
Bob. If I can throw a plug out here before you pull the,
plugs.
Yeah, two plugs. I want to plug Mark Seal, NINLIS, who actually produced both those videos that we showed. I think he captured the essence of the kids and what he put together, and he does it on his laptop.
Wow.
Does all this editing, and he is just a terrific resource for our club as well. But he did a lot of work. Just the field day was just a lot of fun, and he's our chef as well. Cooked up pancakes that one morning. So I just want to say a very good thank you to Mark and all of the club members, because they helped make this program with the kids a success.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for being with us here on Ham Nation tonight. And we're very proud of our Illinois friends, and we'll keep in touch and see where you guys go next. But it's got to be upward. So 7-3 to all of you. Gordo, how do we top that one?
Boy, that's going to be tough. But those kids were standing tall. In about 2 weeks, we'll have kids here at the Shack. And they are Technic kids. They're a technical side of ham radio. And they'll be bringing some very special things that they do. And I know you've got some kids that you're in 2 weeks as well, Bob. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're just trying to promote to everybody what's going on with the kids, and it's not all a bunch of us old fogies, man. These kids are something, and so we want to bring that to Ham Nation this month. So there we have it for our segment. I want to get on with some of the other things happening. I think, Gordo, you have a couple of emails and stuff, but before you do that, you were talking about something a while ago about 10 meters. And oh my gosh, check this out. This was
73. This is J79 X-ray Bravo. J79 X-ray Bravo. The QTH is the island of Dominica. Just a little bit south of Martinique in the Caribbean. And my name is Mike. Mexico, India, Kilowatt Echo. And I'm standing by for any calls. Please go ahead. Over.
A pile up.
When we talk about pile up, everybody, that's what we're talking about. But the bands have just been so good lately. So turn your radios on, and on 10 meters, you don't need much of an antenna, and enjoy all of this great worldwide communications. It's really great. What have you heard from some of the emails this week, Gordon? We got anything that we need?
Well, we had several come very close to guessing this sound that we asked. What is this? That is Aurora. The sound of Aurora makes that CW signal have a real buzz to it. Well, we didn't have any Aurora over the weekend, Bob, but the 1010 organization was going to town. And for more information from Todd, KC4 Tango Victor Zulu, he says, if you don't know anything about 10 meters, go into www.10-10.org and learn all about the 10 meter band. And let me tell you, there was plenty of excitement all weekend long. And we heard Europe in the morning, and then in the afternoon, Japan was just barreling in. And G3ZHI met him up on 10 meters, and he said, what a treat to talk to you on the air as well as watch you on Ham Nation. He'd like us to do it at a different time because it's he's already in sleep by the time we go ahead and roll Ham Nation. We had a neat question come from Matthew, KK4, Fox Echo Mike. And he says, well, what kind of coax do I need when I go from my VHF radio over to high frequency with my new privileges? Well, two different types of coax. The small coax, believe it or not, on HF is good for about 100 watts if it's not more than about a 30-foot run. This is RG8X. But you know, Julian is here. He's saying, go with the big stuff. And here is the big stuff called RG8U, sometimes called 213, sometimes also known as LMR 400. They all take the PL-259. This is called the big stuff, and that's what I like to use for minimum loss. And finally, Bob, WA8YCD, says that in another month, he's going to come up with a great demonstration of refraction. And he's got sugar water. He's got a fish tank. I don't know if he's got the fish in him. He's got a laser beam. And Bob, WA8YCD, thanks for all the great things that you're doing. He actually gave document called the Elmer's Corner Bouncing Light Beams, much like refraction of light waves. So Bob and I sure hope to work all of you in the next couple of weeks. And remember, December, it's all in the family. And Julian and I are going to go out next week when Ham Nation is dark, and we're going to be doing some videoing of All in the Family. So, Bob, back to you. But wait a minute. We have one more video. Alex, if you can bring up the video. Here was a fella that said, I've got a way to keep my 70-watt ICOM nice and cool. And if we have that shot, you won't believe it until what you've seen this gentleman do. It is a water cooled ICOM transceiver. And if Alex has the shot, we'll roll it. There you go. Look at that. Is that too much? It's water-cooled, and I bet that final PA doesn't get very warm at all. So thanks for that great shot, and you certainly have a cool rig. Bob, back to you.
That's pretty crazy. I expect that with 4-1000s, you know, and 25, 30,000-watt transmitters for the broadcasters, but 75 watts, but that's okay. It's ham radio. We get to do those things. Oh, how wonderful. That's great. I just learned that from the chat room, KC8CFM Gordo, Jeff, he's been a general for 9 days, and he's already worked 12 states.
And we're
We're so proud of Jeff. And then K7KFO Chris just got his extra last night. And so we're very proud of those guys. And I'm sure there's a lot more, but I just happened to pick up a couple of those while I was watching the chat room during some of that. So congrats, guys, and all you guys and gals. It's as you saw, all of these children, you can do this. This is not difficult. But how much fun can we have? It's just great, and it's a wonderful hobby. Well, we want to get some of the news that's been happening. So let's see if Robert is ready to go and listen to a little bit of Newsline about amateur radio.
From Amateur Radio Newsline, report number 1787, these are the Ham Nation headlines for November 15, 2011. Emergency communications again topped this week's news, this time in Italy following flash flooding in the Liguria and Tuscany regions, which have accounted for the deaths of at least 10 people in those areas. The government has asked the Amateur Radio Voluntary Communications Group, RNRE, to provide additional communications in the affected areas. Frequencies in use are 3.643 and 3.760 MHz on 80 meters and 7.045 to 7.060 MHz on 40 meters. Amateurs are asked to listen carefully before using these frequencies. More heavy rain is expected to strike the region and additional casualties are expected with increased flooding. And as we reported last week, Amateur Radio continues to support emergency communications for the severe flooding in Thailand. Radio Amateur Society of Thailand's Secretary Paul Wakarapol, Hotel Sierra 4 Delta Delta Quebec, reports his team has helped to save almost 1,000 lives by coordinating rescue communications where medical aid was necessary. The team has been organizing emergency medical communications at the Public Health Ministry using the call sign Hotel Sierra Zero, Alpha Charlie. Russia says that it's going to do all that it can to remove illegal taxicab two-way radio operations from the 10-meter ham band. In a letter to Uli Billmeyer, Delta Juliet 9 Kilo Romeo, Deputy Director Mikolai Valimov of Russia's Radio Frequency Service has promised to arrange permanent monitoring of the 10-meter band for illegal CB-like operations and to deal with them. And finally, we'd like to thank those of you who have responded to our request for female reporters and newsreaders. If you're interested, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Just drop an email to reporters@arnewsline.org. And for details on the stories that you've just heard, point your browsers to www.arnewsline.org. And Gordo, this one's for you. This week's microphone is the venerable RCA 77DX Velocity microphone. It comes to us courtesy of the Mark Sudock Collection. Thank you, Mark. And for this week, that's all the news from the Amateur Radio Newsline. I'm Robert Sudock, WB6FDF, saying 7-3, and now back to Ham Nation.
Oh, Robert, that was great. That? Cool. Thank you, Robert. That was wonderful. I want your voice, huh?
I want his microphone.
There you go. Hi, George. How are you, buddy?
Hey, doing pretty good, Bob. Gordo, good to see y'all tonight.
I, George, you look good. Sorry I hung up on you, but Julian tripped up. No, I blanked out, but we're back. Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, it was nice to hear some of the news. Everybody should go check out Newsline. They've got wonderful things about amateur radio each week, and that's it's something you really need to look at their website and see what else is going on. We have a couple of pictures from our show, The Shack, this week. And Alex, if you can bring up a couple of those, let's see. I like the first one since it's Kids Week. Look at that. That's KE6A. Now, this is Kevin's call, his son's call. I'm so thrilled to have some of these young guys get their license. Isn't that cool? KE6A. And the next one is Steven. And Steven is KK4DMH. He even has his own microphone, Gordon. Look at that.
It looks good.
He looks good. And then my old buddy, Dave, W6PSS. Don't look for him on single sideband. He's just one of us old crusty AM guys. But boy, does he have a nice signal out of Kansas City. And we like to hear Dave on quite often. And AE5QU has a nice station. A lot of audio back in that rack. He's got more processors than CBS. And, of course, he's got the wonderful BR40 to drive it all. And then last on our show this week of Show Me Your Shack is a fireman, W3HOT. Look at this new station you just built. And look at he's using a pair of fire plugs to hold the table up. Hey, George, that looks like something you guys could come up with.
Good idea there. I may have to look into that one.
Oh, you and Jim, I don't know. Well,
we need that fire plug with Jim.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
Okie dokie. Well, let's switch it all down to Mississippi and see what's going on. Is the smoke too thick this week, or what you got going? We're looking forward to it, George.
Well, I built this a few days ago, so the smoke is cleared out of here now. It's one of our favorite subjects, Bob. It's audio. And this week, we built a small portable audio oscillator. Now, you know, you wouldn't use this to run a proof of performance or test your Macintosh amplifier with. But if you just needed an oscillator in your pocket to take around and do some quick tests to see if you're getting the signal through, I believe this is just the ticket right here. So, Alex, if you want to roll the video.
Today's project on Ham Nation is an audio generator. This is Jamico part number 213-7262. This is a Velleman pocket audio generator, and it should be handy for a number of uses. A quick look at the schematic reveals that this is not an analog oscillator as I had first expected.
Oh.
It's actually a digital signal generator using a PIC microcontroller. Let's take a look in the box and see what goodies we have. An audio cable, an instruction manual, some labels for the kit, a case, a PC board, a string of resistors and diodes that are in order of their insertion in the kit. That will make it mighty handy. A PIC microcontroller chip, battery holder, couple of switches, a pot, three transistors, and a handful of capacitors and LEDs. Of course, there's a crystal, too, to clock the microcontroller. As I mentioned earlier, many of the components are already taped in order of their insertion, and that's going to make it real easy to put this kit together. We just follow through the steps and insert the parts in their order. We don't even have to look up the resistor color codes. So let's get started. Here's our completed oscillator, 50 hertz, 100 hertz, 1 kilohertz, 10 kilohertz, and 20 kilohertz. And we've also got LED indicators here to show which scale we're on. And there's a volume control. On the side of the unit is a power switch to turn it on and off with. And on the rear, what looks like a belt clip is actually our push button that steps us through the various frequencies.
I was curious just how good an oscillator this was, being a broadcast and audio engineer. So I thought I'd pull out one of my favorite pieces of gear here, the old Hewlett-Packard 334A distortion analyzer, and my ancient Heathkit Nixie tube counter. So let's turn it on. And it comes on at 50 hertz. And let's set that here for zero. And we notice over here on the frequency counter, it says it's 54 hertz. 53, thereabouts. I actually took a sample of this and analyzed it in Adobe Audition. And I came out with the same result. So it is a little off frequency, but, you know, that... this is close enough. Now, we'll step through the various frequencies here and check the response of the oscillator. Basically, how much it deviates from zero here as we go through the different steps. Now, normally you do this on 1,000 hertz as your reference. So let's step up to 1,000 hertz and we'll zero it right there. Now, let's step back down to 50. And if we look here, we are 0.7 dB hotter at 50 hertz. So not bad, not way out of the ballpark, but not right on zero either. Let's step it up to 100 hertz. And here we notice we're about 0.6 and a little change, a dB boost over 1 kilohertz, which is a little closer. And we're 103 hertz over here on the counter. Let's go on up to 1 kilohertz, dead still at zero. Let's go to 10 kilohertz. We've got a little boost there. We're at plus 0.6 dB. And we're a little higher on the frequency counter. We're at 1,046 hertz. And 20,000 hertz, we're down about 0.2 dB. And we're up a little on frequency as well, 20,838 hertz. Drifting around a little bit there on that one. Frequency-wise, yeah, it's off a little, but probably not enough to matter. Frequency response-wise, yeah, it's off a little bit there, too, but unless we're doing measurements, you know, precise measurements with this, that's not really going to matter. Now we're going to measure distortion on the oscillator, and we just happen to have a distortion analyzer here. How handy. So what we do is we get set level on both the switches here, and then we'll adjust the sensitivity control until we've got full scale on the meter. Once we've got full scale, then we flip over to distortion. We select a frequency range here. I'm going to use times 100. And then we'll say, if it's 1,000 hertz, then that's 10 times 100. So we'll dial on in here. And what we're trying to do is null out the fundamental tone that the oscillator is producing. We see it's gone down quite a bit there. So let's increase our sensitivity on the meter. And let's null a little more on the frequency. And then we also use a balance control here to null even more. We'll increase the sensitivity again. And we'll do a little more nulling. And it gets kind of touchy once you get down very far with it. Now, you may be hearing some other tones in there now that are not 1,000 hertz. And what that is the harmonic distortion that's coming from this box because we're listening to the output. So let's do the best we can here manually, trying to null it. And let's flip it to auto, let it do its best. We'll come on down to the 3% scale. So let's come on down to the 1% scale here. Full scale would be 1% distortion. So right there is 0.7. So it's almost 0.72% distortion.
That's kind of high. Of course, it's going to be okay for a lot of things. If I was trying to do precise audio measurements, that would be too high of a distortion for the job. But in most cases, when you're going to use a little portable oscillator like this, that's not going to matter. You're just looking to see if you've got a signal through. And we can look over here at our frequency counter, and we see that this is, in fact, second harmonic distortion because it's a little over 2,000 hertz there. Now, we won't bother measuring the other frequencies for distortion. I just wanted to give you a little quick look there at how a distortion analyzer worked. There's a couple other things that you can do with this. Let's get our level back in control here. If you hold down the switch on the bottom, it switches it to a pulsed mode. Now, I'm not sure what you want to do with that. If you turn it off, hold down the button while you turn it on, you've got an instant white noise generator. Now, that can be handy for a lot of different things.
So, our summary, this is a quick and easy to build little test box. It's only $35. Not bad at all.
There you go.
All right.
That was great. Everybody needs one of those. That's a very handy tool to have. And how much does that cost again? Do you know?
The little kit's just $35, so that's not bad. I mean, the distortion's a little high. It's limited on the number of frequencies that you've got. But, you know, if you're just trying to check out something real quick, it'll give you an idea of what's going on.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, for that kind of money, that's a wonderful piece that we can do a lot of testing with. And that's something we've been doing around here. And I got a little piece that we've been playing with. This is the 718 of ICOM. They sent in, and I'm going to box it up and send it to George next. We'll run it around the horn with the three of us, and we'll let you know what we think of it. But been on the air with the 718. And I got the new 7200 in here also. So we've been playing around with some, trying to get some lower cost transceivers. And the IC718 and the IC7200, they're really, really nice things. So you might want to check those out if you're out looking for some new radios or an entry level. They really are super. So that's what we got going. Gordo, you've been playing with anything new this week? What do you got going there this week?
Well, George will appreciate this. We have a 718 ourselves, and we take it apart as a class project. And the nice thing about the ICOM 718 are all the boards plug in, and these plug-in boards allow us to do all sorts of testing, put it back together, and have it work again. So we're a big fan of the 718 because of its plug-in ability of individual boards. And by the way, we heard many of you on D-Star during the QSO party this past weekend. And wow, it was a great time had by all. Again, after the net tonight, Bob, we're all going to end up on Reflector 14 Module C, thanks to Joe, WX4ADX, and the Mount Diablo gang. So we hope to hear some of those of you out there on ICOM D-Star, if you've not worn your voice out as I have, over the weekend. And also, Julian says that we've been listening on the 9100 back here, and our frequencies will be 14, 282, as well as 7204. So we hope to work all of you on the air. And again, I'll be at Ham Radio Outlet for the big open house in Atlanta on December 3rd, and we'll have our little mini Ham Nation get-together there sometime during the day. It'll be a fun time. So, yes. Bob, over to you, and then I'm going to jump up on HF Radio.
Okay. Well, I think there's some aurora tonight. I know I noticed a newscast a while ago here in St. Louis that was talking about the aurora. So we might want to point our antennas north and see what we can bounce off the aurora. We might hear a little garbling in the lower frequencies on 75 or 40. But boy, on 6 meters and 2 meters, oh yeah, that's when we shine. So we can do some real fun things there. And we'll report back to you. Now, we want to tell everybody that next week, the 22nd, the Twit Studios will be dark at this hour. So there will be no Ham Nation. We're all going to observe the Thanksgiving week, and it starts on Tuesday in Petaluma. So we will not be on the air next Tuesday, the 22nd, but we will be here the 29th when we're going to have some more children and some great news about what's going on the West Coast with some of the kids. So be sure and tune in on the 29th. In the meantime, we'll see you on the air, and we can talk about some of that stuff there. George, will we see you on 75 after a while, or what you got cooking?
Well, I'm going to try to get on 75 as well as 20 meters and 40 meters, and I'm going to get on D-Star tonight. I've got an ID880H over here, and I've been enjoying playing with that for the past couple of weeks and about to figure it out. And also tonight, we've got new details on the EchoLink net. We've had some guys here with the Dewdrop-N conference server volunteer to come in and let us use their server for the EchoLink net. The connection details, if you're on a computer, it's star Dewdrop-N, Dewdrop-N with a star. So you got to put an asterisk before and after Dewdrop-N if you're connecting with the computer. And the node number, if you're connecting with the radio, is 355-800.
All right, super. Well, we're going to wind things down here, and we'll see all of you after Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family, enjoy your time, and be sure and give thanks for everything that each of us have, and remember the veterans. And we'll be back here next 29th, not next, but the next Tuesday in 2 weeks, and we'll crank up the old Ham Nation again, and who knows what will happen between now and then on the amateur radio bands, but I hope we get to hear you there. And if not, we'll be here to teach you so you can get on and enjoy it with us. So 73, everybody, best regards from near St. Louis, Missouri. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
And from Costa Mesa, California, Gordo, WB6NOA, Susie, and 6GLF, and we call him the Jewel Man, N3JF, saying 73.
And 73 from Jackson, Mississippi, from George, W5JDX.
Bye, everybody. See ya in 2 weeks.